White Cloud 9 Ventures. Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning. Morning, Special Commissioners. Welcome to the two new ones. White Cloud 9 Ventures LP is requesting after-fact authorization to retain the placement of 130 cubic yards of Class 2 riprap on state-owned subaqueous bottom in an 18-foot wide access road crossing with an open box culvert over 35 linear feet for the Little River at a parcel identified as MCPI number 397-26-7021 near the confluence of the Little River and Hungry Run in Loudoun County, Virginia. The project is protested. Before I begin the briefing, I'd like to give you a quick synopsis of why you're hearing this case today. We originally scheduled to hear this in July of 2013, but at that meeting, the protestant Piedmont Environmental Council requested a continuance. The reason for the continuance was a pending civil litigation for the construction of an upland building not related to the bridge or the road accessing the bridge, violating a conservation easement between the applicant and Ducks Unlimited. I'd like to note that Piedmont Environmental Council was not a party to that litigation. And now that that litigation has been resolved as of just a few weeks ago, and it was determined that the building does not violate the conservation easement, and again, that the bridge and the road leading to the bridge was not part of that litigation. I'll just begin with the staff briefing now. In late 2011, the Department of Environmental Quality notified the Virginia Marine Resources Commission that the applicant had constructed a bridge over Little River and that they did not believe that any subaqueous permits from Virginia Marine Resources Commission had been obtained, which was correct. At that time, staff contacted the applicant to discuss the situation with her, and it turned out she did not have any permits from DMRC. Staff determined that a violation did exist because a permit was required for the construction of the bridge and the placement of the riprap upon state owned bottom. Yep, I'd like to state the applicant was very cooperative during the whole process. And in fact, she did have conversations with and a site visit with the Army Corps of Engineers who came out and looked at the site and determined that a permit was not required. Well, a nationwide permit would be issued as a non-reporting kind of a permit, so they did not need to fill out a joint permit application. And they did not tell her that a DMRC permit may be required. So there was a little bit of confusion as to whether or not she needed one from us. So anyway, she constructed the bridge at that point, knowing that she thought that she had all the authorization she needed. The project is located in Loudoun County in Northern Virginia, circled in red. The mark you see here is showing the approximate location of the bridge in Loudoun County. This is the Route 50, US 50 highway, transversing just to the north of the project site. And this is partial information from the Loudoun County GIS mapping service that I obtained online. The parcel you see in blue is the parcel in question. The bridge is located approximately where you see the star. I'd like to note that the parcel is zoned as rural agricultural and does meet all the requirements for local authorization. And she has received all local authorizations for the bridge. This is an aerial of the parcel in question. You can kind of see it outlined here. Here's the Route US 50. The location of the bridge is circled in red. The access road comes from US 50 down along this side and then around to this concrete pad and the cleared area where the proposed upland building was going to be constructed that was subject to the civil litigation. Here's a closer view. As you can see, the bridge has been constructed and it's located right here. And the access road is again coming from US 50 to the north down to this cleared area to the south. The purpose of the bridge is to allow access to the southern portion of the parcel that is divided by the Little River. And this is so members of the public can have access to what is proposed to be a creamery located on the parcel, and also to allow farm equipment access to the northern portion of the parcel, which otherwise would have to transverse around US 50, which is a pretty main artery through Loudoun County. This is a cross section of the bridge. Again, it spans approximately 35 linear feet of the Little River, and at the highest point is approximately 8 feet above the stream bottom. A floodplain certification study was done and determined that a 100-year flood would not be exacerbated by the presence of this bridge, so we couldn't expect any more flooding upstream because of the bridge being here. This is a plan view drawing of the proposed bridge. The rock apron is a little hard to see, but would be placed upstream and downstream of the bridge for erosion control. And then we have the bridge itself. The bridge is 35 by 18 feet, or for a total of 630 square feet. The rock apron encompassed approximately 1,050 square feet for a total footprint of the project of 1,680 square feet of encroachment upon state and subaqueous bottom. These are some ground shots that I took in 2012 when I did a site visit with the applicant. This is the upstream portion of the bridge. Downstream portion of the bridge, you can see a little bit of the riprap down here on the bottom in this shot. The surface of the bridge consists of crush and run. This is just a picture looking upstream from the bridge, and a picture looking downstream of the bridge. Staff conducted a public review of the project, and 10 letters of protest were received. The latest one was received yesterday from the Piedmont Environmental Council. In those letters of protest, some of the comments regarded historic resources in the area. BMRC contacted DHR, Department of Historic Resources, and they determined that no impact to historical resources were as a result of this project. They also cited lack of local authorization for the bridge. Staff determined that all local authorization has been obtained for the bridge now. And they also cited a conservation easement between the owner of the property and Ducks Unlimited. And again, this involved the building of an upland building, not the bridge or the road itself, and that has been now resolved, and that's why we're here before you again today. Piedmont Environmental Council indicated in their latest correspondence with BMRC they will appeal the decision, but we don't know how that will turn out. We do have a decision right now from the court. Also, in Duck Unlimited's compliance reports that they perform annually on the site, they did indicate the presence of the bridge and the road leading to the bridge, and it did not indicate that this constitute any kind of issue with their conservation easements. Staff also contacted DCR and Department of Game and Inland Fisheries for comments, and they both indicated the presence of endangered mussel that could be potentially in the area, and would have recommended mussel surveys and relocations of the site if conditions warrant. But as we have already have a bridge, it's kind of superfluous at this point to have a survey and relocation. At this point, I'd like to read the staff recommendation into the record. Staff understands the need for the applicant to have access to a property and feels that the bridge crossing is an appropriate structure to provide such access. Staff has reviewed the protestant's concerns regarding historic resources, potential conflicts with the conservation easement of the property, and lack of local authorization. According to the Department of Historical Resources, the impacts of historical resources resulting from the bridge construction appear negligible, and based upon documentation provided by the applicant, the conservation easement does not appear to be an issue for the bridge installation. It is also apparent to staff that there may be some confusion regarding the necessity of filing a joint permit application and obtaining a BMRC subaqueous permit, even after consultation with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers personnel. Had a joint permit application been submitted for this project before work had commenced, staff would have likely recommended approval of the project with appropriate special permit conditions that would have taken into account the possible presence of the endangered mussel green floater. Referring to the guidance for civil charge assessments adopted by this commission, staff believes that the impact of the project is minimal due to the small amount of encroachment and minor effect on natural resources associated with the installation of the bridge and riprap. Staff considers the degree of deviation or noncompliance to also be minor due to the possible lack of information from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers regarding the need of the applicant to obtain permits from BMRC for structures involving encroachment over subaqueous bottom. Therefore, referencing this guidance, staff believes a civil charge in the amount of $1,000 is appropriate. Additionally, 28.2-1206D of the Code of Virginia allows for the imposition of triple permit fees for work that is commenced at the time of application. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project with the assessment of triple permit fees in the amount of $300 and conditioned upon the applicant's agreement to pay a civil charge in the amount of $1,000 in lieu of further enforcement action. I'm glad to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any questions from the commission? Nice briefing. Thank you very much. Is the applicant represented or here? Please come forward. Are you an attorney?
I am. My name is Andrew Bercher, and I represent the applicant.
Your name again, sir?
Andrew Bercher.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is my, my name is Andrew Bercher. I represent the applicant, White Cloud Nine Ventures, in this matter. This is my first time before the commission, so I look forward to addressing any issues that you may have with this this application. I'm an officer in the Navy. I come down to Norfolk quite often as a reserve officer, but this is the first time that I've been able to come over to Newport. A couple of points that I think are important with regard to this application. The folks that are complaining about this is, and it relates to the conservation easement, are the Piedmont Environmental Council, who are not parties to that conservation easement. In particular, the party that is to that conservation easement, that's Unlimited, is not here, did not file an objection to this permit. And also in the staff report, you'll see that there was a comment by Mr. Chris Vaughn that is from Ducks Unlimited, which he said that the bridge is not an issue associated with the conservation easement. And so I believe that the PUC is using the conservation easement in a way to try and stop a project that now the trial court has ruled is permitted under the conservation easement. And it shouldn't be lost on the commission that in its July hearing last year, when it voted to continue the matter, that it specifically was concerned about approving the permit and the applicant then using that as a basis for justification that the bridge is approved under the conservation easement. What happened at trial, and I was trial counsel for the litigation, was that the opposite happened. Was that Ducks Unlimited used the fact that we did not have the permit, which we tried to get in July before the trial, against us as basically being something that was not consistent with the easement. So we're here again. The court has rendered its memorandum opinion, which I provided to the commission, indicating that the activities are permitted. I think that based on the fact that the conservation easement holder did not object in this process, and specifically told the staff that this was the bridge was not an issue, that they were really just attacking the activities that we were going to do with the building, the commission should move forward with the application. But being a prepared attorney and being ready to present as much information as you have, first of all, I'm happy to answer any questions that the commission has about the proceedings at trial and the ruling by the court. But I'm also prepared to present Ms. McCloud, who is the applicant. And what Ms. McCloud would testify to is about how important this bridge is to the operations. As you can see by the pictures that were presented by staff, The bridge is really critical to getting to the to two different parts of the property. Without it, basically you have a section of the property that is inaccessible. And not only that, but the building would then be inaccessible. And the building has been built now, so that's a very important factor. And to the extent that this bridge was constructed 3 years ago, and we've been able to observe how the bridge has acted, or been how the environment around the bridge has reacted to it being there. And really, there's been she'll testify that there's been no impact at all. In fact, we had really significant rains this spring, and the bridge performed really well. There was no negative impact on the flow of the stream. She'll also testify to some of the points that Mr. Johnson mentioned related to her efforts to get a permit. This was not an incident in which a landowner tried to just simply subvert the process of the commission. She'll testify that she went to Loudoun County. She talked to the Natural Resource Conservation Service, the NRCS, part of the Department of Agriculture. She invited the Army Corps of Engineers out to do a site visit before she started the project. She was told that what she thought she needed to do as far as the permit goes. She hired a professional to install the bridge. I mean, she's a farmer. She does agriculture activity on the property. So she hired a professional to do this, and they didn't think that a permit was, a permit was required. Obviously, that's wrong. And so immediately, as soon as she found out, she's cooperated with staff, done what she can to get the permit, provided all the information. And what's an interesting aside that I think the commission should be aware of is that during litigation, it was learned that Ducks Unlimited, the conservation easement holder, actually had also failed to get one of the commission's permits in one of the projects that it was involved in. So you can see that even where a multi-billion-dollar environmental group is very well aware of your regulations, doesn't get a permit, that a person who does this once on their property can make, you know, can make a mistake. And it's in this context that I think that the applicant would ask that the commission waive the penalties that have been suggested by staff. I know that the staff is required to do that, make that part of its recommendation. But I also understand that the process is for, in these sort of circumstances where it's not a flagrant violation, that to ask for the penalty to be waived. To the extent that some of the issues that were brought up by the protesting letters were presented, Mr. Johnson addressed how those were all basically rebutted, but Ms. McLeod can also do that. She's presented, obviously, a letter from Virginia Historical Resource Society that the Historical Society stating that there's no impact. She also has letters from Loudoun County Board Supervisors saying that all proper permits were obtained. And she also has a letter from a local delegate supporting her use of the property. And even being more prepared, we brought down with us the wetland scientist that was hired as an expert witness at trial to testify as to the impacts of the entirety of the project, who also reviewed the bridge, Mr. Jim Irie. And he'll testify that in his opinion that the bridge has minimal impact on the subaqueous bottom, which it crosses, and the bridge does not have does not impact any vegetated wetlands, and that in his experience, this this type of application is routinely permitted by the commission. So, with those remarks, in the litigation context, what we call those is proffers of evidence, and I would proffer that that's what Ms. McLeod and Mr. Irie would get up and say. I'm happy to present them or have them come up and testify. But I think, depending on whether or not anybody, I've been told that there isn't anybody here to present anything. I would ask the commission whether or not they wanted to hear that evidence. I'll save it in rebuttal if that's necessary. But I'm also happy to answer any questions associated with the litigation. With that, I will conclude. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from the commission? Would the commission like to hear directly from the applicant? Do you think that's not necessary?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yes, please.
Great. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I need to swear you in.
Yes, sir.
Would you swear the testimony we give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
Jennifer McLeod.
Thank you, ma'am. What else can you tell us about this?
I think it's really all been said. I farm. I have a large planting of Virginia's native grape. Our focus on my farm is sustainable agriculture. I also am one of the largest herdsmen for the animal, the American Milking Devon, that was the impetus for the creation of the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. We have multiple and large projects underway with NRCS to protect our waters. I have 100-foot riparian buffers on a majority of the waterways, and I've been told by the Goose Creek preservation folks that the waters on my farm are some of the cleanest that they test for in all of Loudoun County. So the protection of soil, the sustainability of the land, these things are important to me. The bridge is exceedingly important to me to farm my land because the Little River cuts entirely across the property. And I have a vision and the support of the community to begin growing heritage wheats again in Loudoun County. George Washington called Loudoun County the breadbasket of the Revolution, and there's no wheat being grown, to my knowledge, for human consumption. I'm also in discussions with the Northern Virginia Regional Park Authority that maintains Aldi Mill, and we're thinking that it would be a fantastic project to, again, grow wheat, have the wheat ground less than a mile away in Aldi, and returned to the farm to be baked into to products. We've constructed a creamery. This building is a creamery and will also act as a tasting room. So access to the building is key for the ongoing sustainability of my business, but also access from the south to the north in order to harvest the wheat requires very wide pieces of equipment and combines that cannot be. Not only would we not gain access to that land, but it would be impossible for us to harvest that crop because we can't get down the narrow dirt road of Champ Ford Road and trying to get a 35-foot-wide piece of equipment onto U.S. Highway 50, which would be totally impractical. As Mr. Bircher commented, I've been diligent to ensure that all of the permitting and all of our activities are in compliance with the easement because I know that the PEC has been active in a campaign to stop value-added agricultural pursuits where the public comes onto your property. I personally believe that this is kind of a NIMBY response from them, and I honestly don't believe that this is about biology or ducks or conservation values. I think it's more of an elitist NIMBY not wanting to see folks come out to the countryside. That's my opinion. If you'll read, I believe is a strong endorsement for this project by the former vice chairman of the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors, Ms. Janet Clark. This project has also received the governor's endorsement and authorization for the AFID, the Agricultural and Forestry Initiatives Development Grant, but I had to put that on hold pending this this litigation that we were successful. Also, the bridge has performed perfectly. We had 5 inches of rain in 24 hours. And just a few days prior, 6 inches of rain over a period of a couple of days, a huge amount of rain, and there was no issues at all. Even though the bridge is designed to be overtopped in the event of any kind of water situation so that it doesn't back up, that did not even occur. So the flow through the Little River was unrestricted. If I can't have a bridge, there's a very real possibility and probability that I would have to cease farming operations on the property. It's difficult. Excuse me. It's very difficult to make money in farming. And I kind of consider myself one of the guys in the White Hat. So, and I would also ask that based on the fact that I was directly told by one of the agency, representative for the agency that's part of this joint application, that I did not need to do a permit. I apologize, but I would ask that you not penalize me.
I assume you referenced the Corps of Engineers.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else to add, Ms. McLeod?
No, I think that's it, unless you have questions. I apologize for my emotional breakdown there, but it's an emotional issue for me.
Mr. Erskine. I thank you for your testimony. I applaud your innovativeness and, you know, expanding your business. I just had a question about the bridge. You've testified that it has withstood some of the rainfall and precipitation that occurred. As you anticipate maybe the creamery or a tasting room being developed or furthering development of your property and therefore more traffic, do you feel the bridge will withstand that kind of additional traffic in that
absolutely.
Area?
Absolutely. It's built to HL93 highway load requirement, so it is a there's no weight restriction on the construction of the bridge, and it meets any load restrictions that would be suitable for an interstate highway.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you very much, Matt. It's a public hearing. Does anybody else wish to be heard in favor of this project? Is there anybody here that wishes to speak against this proposal? Anybody to speak against this proposal? Hearing none. Mr. Burchard, would you like to sum it up for us, please?
Yes, sir. I think that the permit should be granted, and we request that the penalties and fees be waived because this was not an egregious violation. She tried to do everything that she could. As presented by the applicant, this bridge is critical to her livelihood in the project, and increased access to different parts of the parcel. So, I thank the commission for its time, and maybe I'll be back here sometime in the future.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Burford. The matter is before the commission. Discussion, motion, and action.
Associate Commissioner Zedrin, I move that we approve the permit and waive the excess charges and excess permit fees in light of the evidence that's presented today.
Okay, so that would be a motion to approve the project before us here, but without the triple permit fees and without the $1,000 civil charge in lieu of further enforcement.
That's correct.
That's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Haney. Do we have a discussion on the motion?
I guess I'll have a little discussion.
Dr. Neal.
We had a similar case. It was one of our delegates here who was doing land restoration, putting in erosion controls, and he thought he did all the proper permittings and really had gone through the ringer. And when it was found out he had not, we basically followed staff recommendation. So I guess out of a consistency thing, we did do a minimal fine, which is what staff recommendation is here.
$1,000. Mr. Watkinson, per the matrix here, the $1,000 would be minimal environmental impact and minimal deviation.
That's correct. In your packet, you should have a copy of the civil charge matrix that was developed and approved by the commission a few years back. And the minimal environmental impact and minimal deviation from permit requirements, basically the idea that the person would not have known or did not know about the permit requirements, gives us at the $1,000 minimum charge. The maximum is $10,000 for a civil charge agreed to by the applicant, excuse me, in lieu of further enforcement action. And at that end of the scale is the property owner would have known, obviously tried to avoid getting permits, and the environmental impact would have been significant. In this case, and our recommendation just takes us to the low end of the scale, given the circumstances of how it fits into the matrix. Of course, the Corps of Engineers comments to the applicant are another matter that really doesn't get addressed by the matrix.
That's a good point. Thank you.
So I guess my point is I have no desire to tear a bridge down. With just a consistency consideration.
Well, then I guess the question at hand here is whether or not to waive the staff recommended $1,000 in lieu of further enforcement and the triple permit fees.
Right.
So how strongly do you feel about that?
I would support staff recommendations. You've already had a motion.
We have a motion.
To not
Commissioner, can I
Mr. Zedron.
I think it's important here that the applicant did everything possible to find out what it was that she was supposed to do. And she contacts the Corps of Engineers. They do not provide her the full necessary information that she needs to get a BMRC permit. She jumps overboard, so to speak, to do everything that's necessary to make that proper. And I think a fair and equitable result here requires us to waive that. I'm not one for just because you have a regulation or a proposal that this is going to be a minimal. I think each case stands on its own merits. And I think that this applicant here has done everything. I mean, we've got a professional to build the bridge, got a lawyer to represent her. She has come here with good intentions, and I think that she has a reasonable unless to rely on the Corps engineers. And if they do not provide her with the necessary information to go forward, in fact, say, look, you don't need any more permits, I think it would be inequitable to assess her a penalty for following their recommendation.
Thank you. Further discussion? Mr. Erskine.
I agree with the discussion that's taking place, and I do have a difficulty in the penalties and the fines, in the sense that, you know, you did the proper consultation maybe with the Army Corps. Unfortunately, this is a BMRC issue, and a joint permit may have addressed this in the past. If it was a joint permit application that was filed, we wouldn't be in this situation. Ultimately, however, I think the applicant is the one that's responsible for obtaining any necessary permits. And consistency, I think, is important necessarily for this commission, and we've tried to maintain that in the past and be fair and equitable with each case when it's similar. And yes, permits are issued individually for such things. I completely agree with permitting this project. I think you certainly have demonstrated that you've done things properly as far as construction. I do have a problem waiving this penalty. It is a minor deviation from that, and I can appreciate your testimony, but I would agree with what Mr. Neal has said, and that we would impose those minor penalties.
And I have further comment. I guess with the logic stated, the whole sand issue, I mean, those guys shouldn't have been fined if we followed that logic. The delegate shouldn't have been had a civil penalty if we follow that logic. And so, it goes, is it the Army Corps' responsibility to enforce BMRC regulations or any other government agency, the mining group? It's because we know they don't. So I guess we have made it a point that it is the applicant's responsibility to find out the regulations and to have the proper permits.
Well, let me ask a couple questions. Ms. Watkins and Mr. Johnson, Ms. McLeod has been very cooperative and helpful for all of this.
Very much.
As I understood the testimony, she approached Loudoun, she talked to Loudoun, got all the necessary approvals there, and she actually invited the Corps of Engineers for a site visit.
Corps Engineers did do a site visit.
That's pretty proactive from my perspective.
And at that meeting, she was informed that the bridge qualified what they call a nationwide permit, which is a non-reporting permit, so she did not need to file a JPA for that Corps permit.
But then that's understandable that she would not have filed the JPA if she was directly told that she didn't need to file a JPA.
Or permit.
Right. I can understand both sides on this here. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm leaning at this point here that I believe that she has worked with everyone here to construct the best project possible, and she has been diligent and even proactive in her attempt to make sure that all the permits that she needed, she obtained. And I'm kind of under the inclination that this was just an oversight on her part, not through any lack of due diligence, which leads us back to where we were.
I guess my feeling is there's going to be unanimous support of granting her permit. I don't think anybody up here that wants to not grant her her permit. Because none of us will want to take that bridge down. And so it's just a matter of whether we want to take precedence of not having a civil penalty. And I have a little problem with having at least some kind of minor civil penalty involved with the same, letting people know you have to have a VMRC permit. But I understand your logic and that kind of thing. So, as the motion is made, I'm going to vote against it, but I want to make it clear that, that I do support her having her permit.
Well, and the other thing I'll just note, although it kind of becomes precedential, we do not have to abide by the matrix guidelines.
So you still have a motion.
We have a motion to approve the project without civil penalty or triple permit fees. So how about we vote on that and see how this ends up? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Show of hands, please. Mr. Close, Mr. Cedrin, Ms. Haney, and the chair votes aye as well. So the noes are Mr. Erskine, Dr. Neal.
Mr. Ballard.
Thank you, sir. Motion passes 4-3.